Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes, going to be a little bit different today. There's a lot of bad weather out there in the eastern part of the country, so a lot of shows are going to be postponed and canceled. So make sure, if you expect wrestling to be somewhere and it's going to be inclement weather, double check before you head out just to verify they are going through with the show. But definitely tonight you can find 3-2-1 Battle up here in our neck of the woods in Seattle. And then tomorrow night in our neck of the woods, NWWA in Oregon, featuring the return of Chief Attacullakulla. So be safe in the inclement weather. Make sure your events are still happening before you head out. And our guest, I believe, has joined us, making his return to the show. Bob Cook, welcome back. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, as I probably told you on the last show, I don't have a life, so thanks for extending it for at least an hour.
Our pleasure to have you on, as
always. I do have the gun cocked with one bullet in the chamber, just in case it gets boring.
Noted. Well, I want to get your opinion off the bat on something that's been kind of breaking news the last couple of weeks. I know you have mentioned this on your social media. There is a new wrestling promotion that is being funded by an NFL owner. It has Cody and the Young Bucks and Chris Jericho all in place for that promotion. All Elite Wrestling looks to be taking shape right now. Looks like it might have a chance of being fairly successful even. What are your opinions on this upcoming promotion?
Well, I think it's great that there's a new promotion. It gives people more places to work and hopefully fans to watch. But if it fails, it will ultimately be the fault of the fans, and I do believe that will be the reason it failed. Well, that and mismanagement. Money marks. That's what you got. You got a guy who is a money mark. Every wrestler is searching for that special money mark, and they got one with lots of money, and he just happens to be a fan. That's a double whammy of money markness. But more power to him. I wish I could get a job. Hint, wink. I know how to play cards. I could be a perfect agent behind the scenes. I worked for WWF in 95. You know what the agents did? They played cards. I don't know what they played, but I could learn.
Now, if they were to give you a call and they wanted you to be an agent, or if they wanted you to head up a training facility, or if they wanted you just in general for some sort of role, would you be interested in going back full-time into wrestling for a promotion like AEW?
Well, of course, especially since it's not full-time. I mean, what, they got one show in May, maybe another show later in the year in Jacksonville, and possibly three shows the whole year? Sign me up! Sounds like a real rugged schedule. I could probably catch a nap in between the months.
Possibly, if it's a short enough one.
But no, I mean, they would never offer me a job because I'm a nobody. They want to give jobs to people that the other wrestlers know and would most likely, potentially, but not really, but behind their backs, not respect them. They wouldn't respect me because they don't know me. So, you know, it's not going to happen. But again, I would do a good job because I would point out the faults that the other agents don't, which is a big problem with WWF or all the companies for that matter. I thought that's what agents are supposed to do, correct the mistakes and of course, you know, help with other things like, you know, the women get dressed and stuff. But that's a whole other story. That'll be in the book.
one of the companies in professional wrestling that is thriving right now, both in Japan as well as now in the United States, with shows lined up for an American tour, Access Television, New Japan might be the hottest promotion in the world right now. What's your feelings on New Japan as it stands now, and how did you feel about New Japan when you were more actively wrestling in the business?
Well, I had chances to go to Japan back in my day, but I never took them because I was a sissy. You know what a sissy is? It's a big fat slob who has a wrestling bag, but he's afraid to fly. So he couldn't go to Japan back then because he was a sissy. I don't know what his name was, something Cook. But I don't watch New Japan. I mean, I tried once in a while, but and it's not bad. Don't get me wrong. I just, for whatever reason, I haven't been able to get into it. But again, hey, if it's successful, you can't knock success. Well, you could, but what good does it do? It makes you look like an idiot. That's like people who knock Vince McMahon. He's a billionaire. What are you knocking? He's a freaking billionaire. You don't have to like it, but he's successful.
I'm sure over the course of your career, there were people that had New Japan experience that you got into the ring with, be it people from Japan that were touring the United States or Americans that had done regular tours for New Japan. Did you notice a lot of difference in styles when you wrestled guys that were regulars from New Japan versus people that were strictly United States-based performers, or was it something that was kind of a universal type of style they could switch back and forth?
You know, most of it is universal. I mean, I've heard over the years that they're stiffer in Japan or whatever, and I worked a lot of the Japanese guys here in, you know, in the States for WCW, and I don't know if they were from New Japan or All Japan, because, you know, that was a thing back then. But they were the same. I mean, they did maybe throws a little different, but they didn't hurt you or nothing, and they would sell for you. And, you know, like I was in a class of the champions, me and Joe Cruz, we wrestled the two Japanese guys, and Hiro Matsuda was their manager, and or maybe he wasn't, I don't know, but he was there, and he had to tell us the entire match, you know, what we were going to do. The entire match we had to know because they couldn't speak English. That wasn't fun. Although it went okay, it just wasn't fun. Didn't want to screw up, you know, because they'd probably beat the crap out of you.
Well, speaking of Hiro Matsuda, he was very well known as a trainer of some of the greats that came into the business. Hulk Hogan, Paul Orndorff, Lex Luger, countless others were trained by Hiro Matsuda. You were trained by one of the all-time great trainers in Professor Malenko. Have you ever given much thought to doing wrestling training and training some of the new guys to get into the business?
You know, I tried that, you know, a couple of times over the years, and my kid wanted to be a wrestler several years ago, and we went to a local place that was supposedly training wrestling, and, you know, they were a bunch of buffoons, nice guys, but buffoons. And so I bought a ring with a friend of mine, and we trained in our backyard. It's backyard wrestling, but if you have an actual wrestling ring, it's not really backyard wrestling. But anyways, but we trained out there, and we had the other people that would come and stuff, but there's no money in wrestling training, and I have no patience for it. I found out real fast, because if you can't figure out how to do a headlock takedown or certain moves after two or three tries, I go nuts. You know, because I learned really fast. And not bragging, that's just the way it worked. Because I did the backyard wrestling when I was a kid, right? You know, you did what you thought you saw on TV. So when you went to the wrestling school, I mean, you had no idea what you were doing, but you had a basics. So it was just annoying, and people wouldn't pay you. And I hear that from wrestling schools all the time, still today. So no, I would never do that. Unless someone wanted to pay me to do it, that'd be different. But I don't have the patience for making no money to be annoyed.
You mentioned that one of the other things you didn't like to do is fly. A lot of wrestlers over the years, especially guys that wrestled in the territorial days, know that some of the drives were especially scary. There were a lot of near misses as far as serious accidents. Some people did lose their lives on the road during driving accidents. I know you've driven a lot of miles in your career for pro wrestling. What would you say has been the scariest drive that you've made?
Oh, there's been a few, but I would say the most scary was when we were doing a trip to WCW. I don't remember the year or whatever, but it was like, I don't know if you ever heard of the guy named Nasty Ned. He was one of the WCW TV guys that traveled with me, and a guy named Mike Thor and a guy named Rick Ryder. Me and Ned are in the back seat. Rick is driving. This is like late at night. Rick's driving like 100 miles an hour. And Mike Thor is like facing us from the front seat. And I'm watching Rick's eyes in the mirror, right? Because Rick had a problem with staying awake anyway. And he's driving and Mike's talking, and then Rick's, you know, looked like he was awake. And at the last second, Mike turned around, and no one's really paying attention. Mike turned around and he grabbed the wheel and literally within inches swerved from hitting the back of a truck that Rick was basically sleeping at the wheel with his eyes open. Or at least, zoned out. That was the closest call I think we ever had. Where we all basically went, okay, Rick, you're not driving for the rest of the life of our careers, you know? Imagine if you had cell phone cameras back then. Wouldn't that have been hilarious?
Hilarious and yet terrifying all at once.
Yeah, all of us screaming like girls.
Of all the road partners that you had over the years, would you say he was the worst actual driver, or was there someone that was worse at the actual art of driving that you were paired with?
I don't really remember anybody being particularly bad. You know, most of the time, believe it or not, I drove most of the time because I never had a problem staying awake. You know, if everybody else fell asleep, I'd listen to what I wanted to or whatever. After that one incident, I made a point to drive a lot more often than I normally would, but I can't think of anybody that would. Mike Thor, who I loved, he was one of my favorite traveling people, but when he drove for summer, he never smoked unless he drove, which is bizarre, right? Oh, I like to smoke when I drive. Oh, well, that's weird, but we don't like it, but he did it anyway. But I wouldn't say anybody was a particularly bad driver other than, you know, the occasional close call.
Like we said, you have been to a lot of places. You've wrestled in a lot of the territories for several different promotions, which means you've been to a wide variety of venues, and especially on the independent circuit, venues can differ greatly. There's some that are absolutely horrible for wrestling, but a ring fits in it, so they'll run a show. Some of them are very, very nice buildings that look like professional wrestling venues. But in your day, what would you say has been the strangest venue where you've performed?
Probably the first match I ever had, which was at a Moose Lodge in Tampa, and the ring was set out up by a lake, and the people sat around the ring in lawn chairs. We got paid $20 and all the barbecue we could eat. So that's pretty strange.
If memory serves, Bobby Heenan wrote in his first autobiography that he used to wrestle on a regular basis in a similar setup for Bruiser, so I can definitely see that.
I mean,
it would be strange to wrestle near a lake, and I'm sure a lot of wrestlers ended up in the lake.
I don't remember anybody going to the lake. I mean, remember, we're in Florida. We have alligators in our lakes, but I mean, there's been all kinds of places. There's been the best places of all time, and then there's been, you know, dive bars where you're lucky you're even alive walking into the place, let alone wrestling there. But strangely enough, some of those places were the funnest, you know, the dive bars and the crappy places, because you just do what you want. And there's always fun and chaos.
Well, we have a game we play on this show. I believe you played this the last time. We call it Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
Sure.
All right, here we go. First one, Kerry Von Erich.
Space cadet, but great in the ring.
Offa.
Who?
Wild Samoan Offa.
Yeah, I honestly don't think I've ever met him. I would say a big fat Samoan. I mean, a large Samoan. I'm sorry.
Jim Ross.
A father. How about just say legacy of a great bunch of people that got into business.
For sure. Jim Ross.
Awesome guy. Always put me over.
Malaya Hosaka.
Oh, beautiful friend. Known her for over 35 years. Or 30-some years.
Rick Steiner.
Always good to me. Never hurt me. Thank you, Rick. Although he did knock me out once, but it was an accident, I think. You'd have to ask him. He wouldn't remember.
Joey Morella.
Never met him. I would say he doesn't know how to drive very well. Oh, that's not good. Too soon? Wait.
Terry Funk.
The greatest of all time and the reason I became a wrestler. I love Terry Funk.
Joe Malenko.
Oh, awesome, awesome person. One of the best wrestlers I've ever wrestled. I love him. Known him for all my whole career. So am I supposed to give one-word answers or?
We'll take a few word answers.
Officially, yes. Sorry. I don't know how to play these games. I'm old. Look, I even woke up when the alarm went off.
All right, next name is Sir Oliver Humperdinck.
Great guy.
Teddy Long.
I don't know. Lucky.
Missy Hyatt.
Wacky.
Bob Caudle.
Underrated.
Nick Patrick.
One of the best. I mean, what can you say? Trying to keep the words short now because you told me I had to.
Kevin Nash.
Great guy. Helped me a lot. I know I'm rambling again, but he helped me a lot. Not a lot, but a little. But it was better than some, right?
Exactly.
I'll tell you a little story about him, but no, I won't. One of the best.
Todd Pettengill.
Goof.
Bill
Never
Alfonso.
Actually met him, but great guy. Saw him the other day.
Page.
Well, about a month ago. Another great guy. A lifesaver, let's say. That's what I should have said. Lifesaver. One word. Is that two words or one?
We'll make it one.
Okay.
Eddie Gilbert.
Died too soon. I don't know. He was great. I know I'm saying everybody is great, but it's true. Nice guy. Awesome in the ring. Personal problems. Nope. Not my problem.
Final one, Fred Avery.
Fred Avery. Oh, Fred Avery, yeah. Inspirational, if you've seen what he's done over the last few years. Lost a lot of weight. He was another guy that used to go on trips with us, WCW. If it's the one I'm thinking of.
I believe so. I believe you tagged with him in WCW, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we did some independence here in Florida, too, because Mike Thor was a friend of his, and Mike would run shows and blah, blah, blah. You know how that works. It's good to have friends that run shows. Cody Rhodes and all his buddies know what that's like.
True enough.
And more power to him, by the way. I'm not knocking it. If you can't take care of your friends, what kind of friend are you?
Exactly.
That's why
it's
people who don't like Hulk Hogan don't like Hulk Hogan. The ones that don't like Hulk Hogan are just the ones that either couldn't make money with him or didn't make money because of him.
Very valid.
And by the way,
one
I had tears in my eyes when the Hulkster showed up on Raw Monday. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, definitely his tribute to Mean Gene, I think, was very well done.
Yep, and the crowd actually cheered him.
That they did.
As they should have.
One of the more overlooked aspects of wrestling that a lot of fans don't necessarily understand the importance of, a lot of promoters don't actually understand how important it is, but ring announcers are very vital to the importance of a show. They can be the face of the company. They're how fans are able to follow what's happening on the show, understand who's facing who. In your career, who would you say are some of the better ring announcers that you worked with on shows?
Gary Michael Capetta was great, always great. Dave Penzer was always great. Of course, Dave was a friend of mine. He used to like travel with us a lot of times. Before he actually got his announcing job, he did other stuff for WCW. There I go again, rambling. Oh, Jay Goodley, one of my best friends, used to be a ring announcer for Championship Wrestling from Florida. He also was a commentator. But he did the TV and he did a lot of the arenas. And I'm going to see him at the Royal Rumble. Not at the Royal Rumble, but at my house for the Royal Rumble. Let's make that clear. I would not want to be in that crowd. But yeah, Jay Goodley, who you probably never heard of, but look it up. He was a good ring announcer. Those are the best ones I can think of.
I will do my research on Jay Goodley for sure.
And I just, like last year, I went to Michael Capetta's. He does a show, you know, like a, I don't know what you call it, a one-man show where he talks about his career. And we went to it in Tampa. I hadn't seen him in 20-some years. It was a very entertaining show if you get a chance to see it. He shows slides and videos and tells stories how he got into business. And if you want to know what it's like to be a good ring announcer, he, you know, kind of gives you pointers if you're trying to be a ring announcer.
Absolutely. Also wrote a very, very good book.
Yes.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I'm sure that he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to QT for a while.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Bob. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, how you doing? I appreciate you having me back. I usually don't get asked back, so I must have done something right, or maybe not.
Oh, well, we're pretty desperate at times.
Well, I can believe
just
that.
Kidding. No, I can believe that. Well, Bob, I'd like to expand on Sun Guy's word association, a brief expansion. What would be your one-word association for Chief Wahoo McDaniels?
Legendary, I guess, would be a good one.
Okay, legendary. How about Jerry Lawler?
Oh, man, geez. The king. I mean, I don't know. I love Jerry Lawler. You want one word answers? I mean, man, the king. Truly, the king.
Yes, it is kind of hard to lump Jerry Lawler with just one word. Yes.
Well, you could use, if you want to use, well, we could steal the Wahoo word, legendary. I mean, nothing else. You know.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to repeat
the
same word, but.
Okay. How about the wrestler known as the Cuban Assassin?
Great friend. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. If you're talking about the one here in Florida, not the one like the Canadian Cuban Assassin. Dave Sierra, you mean? Fidel Sierra,
yes.
The Cuban Assassin. I teamed with him in WCW. I was actually supposed to be in a match with him tomorrow night in Tampa. But I can't
Wow,
do it.
Tomorrow night? Oh.
Yeah, they're having this huge 10-team, 20-man cage match, bring your own weapons, come as you are, you know, bunkhouse style, and I was supposed to be in it, but I'm having some problems with my kidneys, and I had to cancel out, but Dave Sears is going to be in it, or the Cuban Assassin with Ricky Santana, and I mean, it's just going to be crazy, but that's the way it goes when you're old and ugly. Don't get fat.
Wow.
But
when was the last time? When was the last time you were in a cage match?
Oh, geez, years ago. Probably in the 90s sometime.
Oh, wow, okay. And the last word association, Ox Baker.
Oh, man. Funny. One of the funniest people I've ever known in my life.
Oh, okay. Do you have any road stories of traveling in a car with Ox Baker that you'd like to share?
No, I never traveled with Ox, but he did stay at my house for a weekend a couple years before he passed away. What year did Randy Savage die? Savage dies, they did a benefit show, or not a benefit, like a tribute show to Randy in Tampa, and Ox was on the show. He actually managed my friend and wrestled Ron Bass. Ox didn't, but my friend did, but he managed my friend. But Ox stayed at my house. He picked him up at the airport. It was absolutely hilarious. I mean, Ox was one of the funniest guys you'd ever meet. He had all of my neighbors over here signing autographs, taking pictures. You know, it was like a comedian, right? It was an incredible weekend. Incredible. You can see pictures of it on my Facebook page.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that out.
In my album, I think it's the Ox Baker, legendary Ox Baker stays in my house or whatever, but it was a fun time.
To your knowledge, did Ox Baker ever appear on the late night show with Johnny Carson?
I don't, never heard of that. I know he was on Price is Right years ago.
Oh, how'd he do it at spinning the wheel? Did he get to spin the wheel?
Yeah, he was on it's on YouTube if you look it up.
Oh,
it's funny too. Oh, okay. He comes down, he's got a shirt on that says like big, mean, ugly or something like that. It's hilarious.
Wow. All right. Now, did
that's something else.
Speaking
of Ox Baker, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm fine.
Well, I was just going to say, while Ox was here, you know, he was in that movie Escape from New York with Kurt Russell. And we made him, basically, we said, Ox, you want to watch that movie with us? Because we thought it'd be cool. And he's like, oh, sure. So we got to actually watch Escape from New York with Ox Baker. And he'd tell stories and stuff. You know, but okay, I'm sorry.
Wow, fantastic. To your knowledge, did Ox Baker ever act in the movie They Live with Roddy Piper?
No, I never saw him in that.
Oh, okay. I think he would have been great in that, They Live.
Yeah, he was in a movie called The Big Brawl with Jackie Chan. Had a lot of wrestlers in that, like Hardboiled, Haggerty, a bunch of wrestlers. You can look that up. He had a big fight scene and stuff.
Wow, okay. Well, to your knowledge, did Brutus the Barber Beefcake ever give touch-ups to Ox Baker on his beard or mustache?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge.
Oh, okay. Well, Bob, does Hulk Hogan's beach shop in Orlando, Florida offer espresso?
I don't know, but it's an awesome place if you ever go on. Or don't go, or do go. Or if you do go, it's an awesome place. I've been there. I love it. I'm a big Hulk Hogan fan.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, speaking of which, and sadly, now, Sign Guy mentioned this, that he had the tribute to Mean Gene Okerlund. How many times were you on the mic with Mean Gene Okerlund holding the microphone?
Oh, never. And I was just a nobody, but he was always kind to me if he would call a match I was in, or was always nice to me backstage, which means more to you than anything.
Well, okay. All right. Well, Bob, you mentioned dive bars to Sign Guy. Did you ever have a chance to stop in the Boca Chica Bar and Grill at Marathon in the Florida Keys back in the mid-80s?
That doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, okay. It was a biker bar in Marathon.
I definitely wouldn't go.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Bob, rock and roll and wrestling have always had a symbiotic relationship. What, if any, was your entrance music?
You know, I never had a specific entrance music, you know, especially you do indie shows, once you music. Most of the time I wouldn't have music because I thought that was cooler, you know?
Oh, okay.
Like we did a show.
All right.
We do a tribute show for the Great Malenko every year called the Great Malenko Cup. And I've wrestled on a few of them, and I'd have them play music at the beginning and then go out there and yell at them and say, we're here to pay tribute to the Great Malenko. The Great Malenko didn't use music because he didn't need music because his talent shined through. And I was trained by the Great Malenko and shut the damn music off. So, you know, to be the bad guy.
Wow, all right. Say if you could travel back in time and be offered to be the tour promoter of a rock band instead of having your wrestling career, what possible three bands could wrestle you away from wrestling? Now, keeping in mind this is time traveling, would one of the bands be Wendy O. Williams from the Plasmatics?
Never even heard of that.
Oh, okay. Well, Wendy O. Williams was a pioneering woman punk rocker. How about Cheap Trick with drummer Bun E. Carlos? Could they wrestle you away from wrestling?
No.
Okay. How about the Swedish band ABBA?
Well, some of them did look pretty good, right? So that's a possibility. Although, to be honest with you, I'd either be the Beatles, the Doors, or the Who.
Ooh, okay. Beatles, Doors, or the Who. Okay. How about Led Zeppelin?
Or Led Zeppelin. Any of those great 70s bands. Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith. For newer groups, you want newer groups, I want to run Pink. I love Pink. You know who Pink is, right?
Pink Floyd?
No, Pink, the singer, Pink.
Oh, Pink, yes. She's from, I believe, the Los Angeles area. Pink.
Yeah,
yes.
A friend and I went and saw her in concert last year. Absolutely unbelievable. Same place where they held Raw this week, actually, is where we went. Place was sold out.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow, okay.
It's the only person I would pay to see live. Well, maybe you too I would pay to see live, but I'd go see Pink again. She's going to be in Tampa next month, actually.
Wow, all right. Do you have any Pink rock shirts?
No.
Rock shirts.
I don't buy that overpriced stuff, but I do have her Blu-rays on concert, and I watch them quite often because, well, remember when I said I don't have a life? Well, it also involves loneliness, so late at night I watch her in concert on Blu-ray in HD. It's a huge plus.
Holy smokes. Wow, okay. All right. Well, now, speaking of traveling back in time, how about Tom Petty? Could Tom Petty be one of the bands who could wrestle you away from wrestling and give you a bodyguard or promoter's position? Tom Petty.
Oh, definitely. So could Bruce Springsteen back in the day. And I have a friend, actually, who had an opportunity to play for Bruce Springsteen and turned it down.
Oh, huge mistake. Boy, that's a big mistake.
It was many years ago.
Can you tell us what instrument he played?
You know, I really don't even know. Probably guitar, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
He'll be here for the Royal Rumble, I'll ask him.
Well, now, Bob, speaking of Led Zeppelin, which was one of your choices, they had a bodyguard who used to be a professional wrestler in England. I can't remember his name, but he was a very big individual, over 300 pounds.
Wasn't Big Daddy, what do they call him? Big Daddy.
I'm not sure about Big Daddy. The only persona I know about named Big Daddy was Big Daddy Lipscomb, who was the first 300-pound NFL lineman, and he played in the 1950s. Big Daddy.
You never
Lipscomb.
Heard of Big? You never heard of Big Daddy Crabtree, the most famous wrestler in England history?
No, Big Daddy Crabtree, no.
Yeah, Big Daddy, I mean, he was an old guy, but he was fat, but over 300 pounds, with famous matches with his giant haystacks. Look it up on YouTube and you'll go, I understand why wrestling in England died back in the 80s. But the guy was over like Hulk Hogan.
Holy smokes, he's a legend in England. He sounds like Earthquake, yes.
To a degree, but he was over. Earthquake was never over.
Okay.
This guy. What, are you doing a wrestling show and you don't know your history? What am I? What am I, some kind of chopped liver?
Well, I do like chopped liver at various delis, especially New York. Katz's Deli, the chopped liver there. Very good.
Mm. I've only been to New York once, and that was once too many.
Oh, wow. Didn't like it, huh?
No.
See, I always thought, Bob, that you would be a good fit like to put on a wrestling show for the inmates in Rikers Island.
Where?
Rikers Island. Rikers Island. Yeah. It's a famous jail.
Yeah, I know. Is it even? What, is it because there's no one there now and I'll just have to sit there by myself like I do now?
Yes, I think it's they're in the process of shutting it down, kind of like Alcatraz. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I figure I'll end up in prison in my later years when I have nowhere else to go. Rather than
being
homeless.
I'm very comfortable in prison settings.
It works for Bill Cosby. I mean, you know.
Oh, yes. Well, Bob, I went back into the archives and saw your YouTube video that is called Bob Cook on Ric Flair, Terry Funk, and Jesse Ventura. and at the 340 mark, you do mention the great Malenko. When he asked how you were doing, when the great Malenko asked you how you were doing, he actually cared because he himself had lived 1,000 lives. You yourself said he was the answer man. My
right.
question is, why haven't we seen a wrestler, be it male or female, called the answer man?
I don't know. It's a good question. I might have to come up with that gimmick in a second life. Well, you're talking about that Hannibal
yes.
interview. Yeah, that was in Las Vegas. Yeah. I mean, that's what I've always looked at Malenko. Like I said in that interview, anytime I ever talked to him about personal problems, I always came away thinking I could take on the world. Unfortunately, I couldn't, or else I'd be much more wealthy. But he was the answer man. He had an answer for you, or at least you thought he had the answers. It was up to you to take the advice, like anything. You can give people advice all day long if they don't take it.
That's true. Yes. It would always be great if a wrestling organization was cutting a promo with a wrestler called the answer man or person, and it would start out with his or her opponent coming up to them and saying, "Hey, you got a minute? I have a question." Very good.
It might work. I mean, they've tried everything else and it's failed. Why not try that?
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, during
that
interview,
you know, the classic case, you throw it against the wall, eventually something's going to stick.
I've heard about that. They say that about spaghetti, I think. Spaghetti.
Could be spaghetti. Especially the big meatballs.
Yes. Yes. Well, now, in that video, you mentioned you had your first pair of boots that Terry Funk gave you. Do you still have them?
Yes. They're not wrestling
oh, wow.
boots. They're those boots that Terry would wear. They look like cowboy boots, but they have tennis shoes. They look like tennis shoes on the bottom. They're the
wow,
kind of boots
okay.
I wrestled in them for several years. If you look at some of the video, I have them. They're the boots that Terry gave me that I wrestled in. But I have a bunch more pair of those boots that I've found over the years. But the first pair he gave me, and he also told me where to get them if I promised not to tell anybody else. Because he said, "Bob, I don't want everybody wearing these."
Oh. Wow, okay. Wow. It'd be fantastic. I myself would one of my best collector items would be a pair of wrestling boots signed by Terry Funk. That'd be about as valuable as my lipstick and dynamite poster signed by all five women great wrestlers, including Mae Young and Gladys Killam Gillum.
I actually have a pair of those style boots, but they're a different color. They're white and red that Terry signed for me about 3 years ago. They're in my what I call Terry Funk tribute case, where I have all of his action figures and this awesome poster that he signed to me years ago, and the NWA championship belt that he used to hold. Not the real one, but a replica. Who wants to afford the real one?
Hey, that's not bad. A Terry Funk action figure? That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, well, I got them.
Wow.
I got all of them. I got the first one from 85 from LJN. I got two from Japan. I got whatever. But anyways, the boots are signed, both pair, and they look really cool. You can find pictures of them on my Facebook page.
Wow, okay.
Terry Funk
all
tribute
right.
case.
Now, to your knowledge, was Terry Funk in the movie Roadhouse? Because I think
yes,
you mentioned
was.
Something about this at the 6:43 mark.
Yes, he was, and he actually wore, did I? I don't know, but he wore those boots in Roadhouse. Not my boots, not the pair I have, but those tight boots.
Oh, I think it was the scene where Patrick Swayze said, he gathered all of the people that wanted to be bouncers. And didn't he look at Terry Funk and say, "You're out. You don't have the temperament." And Terry Funk
right.
said, "Well, what am I supposed to do in the meantime?" And Patrick Swayze said, "There's always Barber College."
Yep, I use that line a lot.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It's a funny
fantastic.
Story about that. You know, in 89, I don't know if you want to hear this story, but in 89, in Miami, Terry did a match against Dusty Rhodes. It was the night before he was going to go to WCW and attack Flair at WrestleWar. And I went to the show because a friend of mine was wrestling Wendy Richter, and I went there with my camcorder to videotape my friend's match. And, of course, because Terry was there. And, of course, I worked for that company, so I was able to go in the dressing room, blah, blah, blah. I just wasn't on that show. So I got to hang out with Terry all night long. And after the show, we went to a bar, and he's telling me the story. And a commercial came on for Roadhouse that was coming in theaters. And these two girls come over to the table because they saw Terry in the commercial. Say, "Hey, were you the guy in that commercial?" And Terry looked at him with Terry's voice, and he said, "Can't you see I'm talking to my friend? Get the frick out of here." He used less language like that. But it was like one of my greatest moments, right? My hero, because Terry Funk's my wrestling hero, is telling these two good-looking girls to bugger off because he's talking to me.
Well, he wanted to remain in character. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's the way he always was. That's the way he always was back then. Anyway.
Sometimes he would even do that to boys seeking autographs, be a little bit rough with them.
I saw that. I mean, I've even mentioned that in books that people have asked me to, like, quote things about. It was that same night. Terry and I were watching the matches through the curtain, and a little kid came over and asked Terry for his autograph, and Terry was rude to him, told him to get lost. And even I said, "Damn, Terry, why were you mean to that kid?" He goes, "Bob, if these people look over here and see me being nice to that kid, how are they going to believe that I'm a bad guy when I go through that curtain in 20 minutes? And I was like, "That makes perfect sense."
Oh.
I mean, according to Terry Funk, when he would pull into town, that's when he turned on the heel mode. And I noticed that throughout the years of, you know, hanging around him, that he would always treat people who weren't associated with the show like crap, whether it was just a concession guy or just no one who's not on the inside. He would treat them. You know, he wouldn't go up to him and just push him around, but he'd just be rude to him or dismiss him as they're nothing because he was a heel back in the kayfabe days, as they say.
Wow. All right. We kind of have a wrestler up here in the Northwest that does that, Darth Carter. Yes. He does
it
without
words,
though.
That's a great thing to do. Oh, really?
Yes.
I mean, I think that's a great way to do it. I mean, after that night when I talked to Terry, I did that at all the little shows I did. It's just fun.
Ooh.
Makes sense. I mean, if you go out there and go, if you treat a few people like crap before you go to the ring, or, you know, when they see you come out of the dressing room, and that's that guy that didn't even want to talk to us, you know, I'll instantly hate you.
Oh, yes.
You'd go
over. Yes. Wow. What did Ox Baker remain in character?
No, I don't know. You know, I didn't know Ox when he was at the height of his wrestling career. I met Ox first in 84, 85. And he was actually my manager here in Florida for a brief time for a TV show that was started by Tony Marino, Angelo Poffo, and the great Malenko. And Bugsy McGraw was involved, but Ox was my manager. But Ox was always just fun-loving, and dressing, singing songs, smoking cigars, had his toenails painted. But I never saw him treat anybody bad. So I can't say... what he did back in his old, you know, when he was in his real wrestling days, because I was a fan. I didn't have a chance to interact with him.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Bob, when Jesse Ventura was governor of Minnesota, did he ever invite you into the Capitol Rotunda where the legislators of Minnesota were discussing bills?
No, unfortunately he didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, Bob, I also saw your wrestling video, Bill Kazimer versus Bob Cook, 1991, September 21st. And the announcer said he was the world's strongest human being. Well, didn't that honor go to Tony Atlas and later Mark Henry, the Central Chocolate?
Well, you know, that particular claim to fame is the same thing as saying that Mike Tyson's the baddest man on the planet, blah, blah, blah. It's just a tagline. Bill Kazimer was an idiot. He was an egotistical, bug-eyed, mongoloid-looking freak who was only there for the money and to distribute his form of pharmaceutical narcotics to inflame the muscle area of specific individuals that would partake in his medicine, if you know what I mean.
Wow, I don't think Bill Casimir would have done very well if I mentioned him during word association.
Although I do remember that match, and I do believe I threw two sweet punches to his fat, mongoloid, bug-eyed head.
Yes, you did. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You have to agree while I'm on the phone, at least.
Well, no, that was one of the better videos I have seen of this new year. Yes. I've started the new year outright. Yes.
So, yeah, he was a jerk that was just there for the money. And doesn't talk well about wrestling now. So, I mean, people like that are just garbage, you know, in my opinion.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't really the world's strongest man. Maybe it. I mean, what did they do? They did stupid stuff with him. Look, Bill Casimir, I can pick up a dumbbell with his pinky. Big deal. I can pick up a can of Mountain Dew with my hand. The same thing. Nothing impressive. Why would you want to do that?
Yes.
I can pick up a dumbbell with my pinky. Big deal. What's the accomplishment? What's the reason? The same kind of idiot that says I climbed Mount Everest. So what? I flew over it. Idiots.
I hear that. The announcer said that he had a 661-pound bench press. Well, Bob, I had a 66.1-pound bench press in high school. You just had to switch the decimal places.
I've never been impressed by people like that. You know, if he was a nice guy and he treated things more respectful, I would have better things to say about him. But he was just there for the money. And I've seen interviews with him now where he just... he's very negative towards wrestling, and he only has himself to blame.
Wow.
Actually, wrestling has himself to blame for bringing him in. He didn't serve any purpose. No one, there's not one person who paid to see Bill Casimir back in the WCW. There wasn't one person that said, kids, load up the car. Bill Casimir's at the arena tonight. He might be fighting Arn Anderson. Nobody said that. They might have went and looked at the car and went, oh, shit. Oh, sorry. Can you cuss? I know. They said, oh, no, Bill Casimir's on the car. Time for drinks. Concession stand.
I think you would have been a lot happier. I mentioned that time travel and the three bands you would like to see. How about Evel Knievel? Would you have given up your wrestling career for Evel Knievel?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Oh.
Without even thinking twice. Jeez,
wow.
I would have loved to have been part of Evel Knievel's gang back in the 70s. He was the king. I mean, he was like Elvis on wheels, baby. But I was just a kid then. It would have been a little awkward, you know. But
well,
I would have seen a lot of things kids don't see.
That's true. Did you ever see his video in the Cow Palace in San Francisco where a Hell's Angel threw a wrench at him and all the crowd started beating up the two Hell's Angels?
Yeah, I've seen all of his videos.
Oh, okay.
I even met, I went to the grand opening of the museum they opened a couple years ago, and I met the guy who was his bodyguard there. If you watch that video, the one guy, he's like running and nails the guy and knocks him down. This guy named Gene Sullivan, he was at the grand opening.
How do you think Bill Casimir could have done against Evel Knievel in the wrestling ring?
I don't know. Evel wasn't a big wrestling fan. Although,
that's true,
for a
yes.
trivia... But on a trivia note, Vince McMahon Jr. helped promote the Snake River Canyon Jump in 1974. How's that for trivia, folks?
Oh, he did. Wow. Yeah. Oh, boy. That's all right. Well, Bob, I'm going to give the microphone back to Sign Guy.
All right. Hopefully I didn't bore you too much. Put the razor away. No reason to kill yourself.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
All right. Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Cook, we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show, so I want to make sure you have ample time. If there's anything you want to say to the people listening today, plug and promote anything and everything you would want, social media, any upcoming shows or appearances, your favorite bagel shop, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
I have nothing to promote. There you go. All I would say is, like I always say, stop being whiners and complainers and watch the show and enjoy it. You see, fans are already complaining about this AEW, and they haven't even started yet. Wrestling fans are the lowest form of scum on the planet Earth. You realize that?
I have heard that.
Yeah, they're never happy no matter what. It's like a wife. But at least you can turn them off.
All right. Well, Bob Cook, as usual, it has been our pleasure to have you on here. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And hopefully you get better and you can pop back into the ring at least a couple more times.
Well, I probably will because I'm an idiot. But after I get off here, I'm going to Hooters. So things are looking up. Uh-oh.
Right.
Very good.
Well, fans, if you get to see Bob Cook at a show near you, if he's in the ring or if he's just going to be somewhere you're close by, definitely go out there and take the time to see him. One of the best punchers in the history of the wrestling business. Watch it on YouTube. Watch it on the WWE Network. Judge for yourself. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Our guest, Jamie Senegal, will be with us. So take the time to be with us Sunday. Get out there, support your local independent. Stay safe if you're in the part of the country getting socked by those vicious winter storms. And we'll talk to you soon.